Today we're completing our first instalment of Luke's Gospel, which is Luke's orderly account of Jesus' arrival. And it's wonderful to have new people with us, and particularly Vicky's mum. Good to have you back again with us. We're in study 5 of this first little mini-series from Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 52, which was just read for us. And the title today is Two Steps in Jerusalem. We're looking at Jesus the baby, and we're looking at Jesus the boy. Now, Luke's gospel is actually a letter written by Luke to his associate Theophilus. Who was Theophilus? Well, we're not quite sure. But he was someone that Luke wanted to give an accurate account of the story of Jesus to. And our question today, as we finish up this first little mini-series on looking at Jesus' arrival, is what does Luke want Theophilus to understand? And you say, well, understand about what? Well, what does Luke want Theophilus to understand about Jesus' early experiences in the temple? Because Luke is the only gospel writer that writes these passages about what happened with Jesus at his consecration as a baby, an eight-day-old, and at that time when he stayed behind and he was 12 years old. Luke is the only one who mentions these things. And so we're asking, what does Luke want Theophilus to understand? And you may think, well, okay, fair enough, but what's that got to do with me? Why do I need to know what Luke wanted Theophilus to understand about Jesus' time in the temple as a baby and as a 12-year-old? What's it got to do with me? Well, what Luke wants Theophilus to understand, I believe that God wants you to understand. And that's why God has ensured, through the work of his Holy Spirit over the millennia, that this gospel message to an unknown guy called Theophilus ends up coming back to you and to me. Because God wants us to understand these things that were going on. You see, what is going on is all about the arrival of the Messiah. That's what's going on. And Luke is including the accounts of people who saw him as an infant, and he's including accounts of people who saw Jesus as a 12-year-old. What we've got here in our gospel is not some legend or some myth. This is factual history based on the testimony of eyewitnesses who were there at the time, and there were notable people who saw Jesus at his consecration when he was only 8 days old and when he was at the temple talking to the teachers of the law at age 12. And today we're particularly looking at the issue of the recognition of Jesus in Jerusalem. I want you to pick up that word recognition. It's going to come through the sermon and it's going to hold it all together. The recognition of Jesus in Jerusalem, in this case in infancy and in childhood. And recognition by two groups. Firstly, as an infant, recognition by two prophets, two people who had the Holy Spirit enlightening to them what was going on. And secondly, recognition by the teachers of the law, the scribes and Pharisees and lawyers who were in the temple talking and arguing about the scriptures and the history of Israel, recognised by them when he was only 12 years old. Now, as I said, Luke is unique in recording these two key incidents involving Jesus' early life. Both of them are at Jerusalem, and one is only a month after Jesus' birth and the other one is just before Jesus goes into Jewish adulthood, which happens at age 13. Jesus was only just 12. He's on the very cusp of adulthood as he's talking to the teachers. Now, as a baby, Jesus is recognised by two aged, God-fearing prophets, one male, one female. This is Simeon and Anna. And both of them identify Jesus under the direct revelation of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, at 12 years after that incident, Jesus is as I said, on the very cusp of adulthood in Jewish society, and he encounters the teachers of the law in the temple, and this 12-year-old boy engages the teachers of the law intellectually, and Luke records it was to everyone's amazement. They were absolutely amazed at what this 12-year-old boy had to say and had to ask. You see, the boy, Jesus, is recognised as having extraordinary understanding of God's law. I wonder whether we have recognised Jesus as God in the way that God wants us to recognise him. Just think about that for a moment. That's a critical point. I wonder if we have recognised Jesus as God wants us to understand him. Not as the friends and the neighbours and the world, the media, want us to understand him. Oh, yes, they say he was a wonderful teacher. He was a wonderful portrayer of moral values, a wonderful example of how to live. That's what the world wants to tell us, but is that the way God wants us to understand Jesus? We need to recognise him the way that God the Father wants us to recognise his Son, and that's a critical point of this passage. So we come to the text in verse 22, and we find here Luke's story to Theophilus. And the title of the sermon is Two Steps in Jerusalem. Verse 22 starts us with step number one. Step number one in Jerusalem is the consecration of Jesus, the baby. It's after about 40 days, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple to be consecrated to God, and they did all this exactly according to the Old Testament law. Now, I'm not going to go through it in great detail because it's already been read to us, and you can read these lengthy passages of narrative from Luke in your own Bible in your own time. But we pick up in verse 25 at the start of the section here. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. So, in this first step in Jerusalem, we encounter the prophet Simeon. This guy is righteous. This man is devout. He's a God man, and he's waiting on God for salvation in Israel. He knew, under the testimony of the Holy Spirit, that he would not die until he saw with his own eyes the Christ, the Messiah, prophesied for Israel. And this has been revealed directly to Simeon by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says so. So he was a man spirit-filled in a special, a very extraordinary way. The Bible says the Holy Spirit was upon him. What a great testimony. Wouldn't you love that as a testimony to you? The Holy Spirit was on you. In actual fact, you have the Holy Spirit in a way that the Old Testament people and right up to Jesus' resurrection did not have. And you have got the Holy Spirit pretty much in the same measure that Simeon had. And so that's a wonderful glory. Anyway, we move on down and we find verse 29 that Simeon makes a prophecy over Jesus. He takes Jesus in his arms and he prophesies over him in an attitude of praise to God. Simeon lifts up his praise just as we do when we sing in praise to God, and he's recognising that God's personal promise to him, to Simeon, had come true. I am now holding the Messiah, the Saviour of the world. That's amazing, isn't it? He declared that this child was going to be the salvation for Israel, and that he had literally seen this salvation for Israel with his own eyes. Israel's Saviour is going to be a glory to Israel, and he's going to be not only a glory for Israel, he's going to be a light for the Gentiles. He's going to be a light of revelation for the Gentiles. And then, after that prophetic word, Simeon turns his gaze towards Mary and Joseph. And he has a couple of prophetic words to them. He blesses them both. As an elder, as a senior, he takes the high ground and he blesses Mary and Joseph. And to Mary specifically, he talks about the baby's destiny. And he says this baby is going to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel.
Now, it's easy for us to look back and see what happened. But put yourself in Mary's shoes at the time. So Molly's there at the moment with new Lola. Imagine if an angel or someone turned up to her and said, Lola is going to cause the falling and rising of many in Australia. Molly would be thinking, what's that all about? Well, that's what happened in this case with Simeon and Mary. And furthermore, Simeon says, this child is going to be God's sign that will be spoken against. It's a bit sinister, isn't it? He will expose the private thoughts of many hearts. And then he really puts the knife in and he says to Mary that you also are destined to bear great pain in your soul because of this child. Well, that probably didn't make Mary's day as a statement from the prophet, and it was probably quite confusing. And yet the Bible keeps saying that Mary put these things into her heart and pondered on these things and knew that God was at work. And she had faith. She trusted God's word through God's prophet. Whatever was going to happen, we all know that this baby is different. This baby is different. Takes us over to verse 36, where we encounter the prophetess, the female prophet, whose name is Anna. She's very old. She's 84 years old, and she's probably been widowed for about 61 years. And what's she doing with her time? Well, the Bible says that she is constantly worshipping God in the temple. And you think, well, that's a pretty boring life. But it mustn't have been a boring life for Anna, because she must have come and found the deep treasures in communion with God in that holy place. And maybe she found some of the things that some people who are more disadvantaged than we, perhaps people who have lost their sight, or perhaps people who are permanently incapacitated, who can't move, people who are in much worse situations than we are, maybe some of those people in God's service have been able to find the deeper communion with God and able to worship in his heavenly temple, waiting for the coming day when they'll be released from these earthly trials and difficulties. Anyway, whatever it was with Anna, she's been in the temple for a long time and spending most of her time there with prayer and with fasting. And as soon as she sees Jesus, she thanks God and she speaks about this baby to everyone who was looking for God's salvation in Israel. Wow. So that's the encounter of the baby in Jerusalem. Then Mary and Joseph chuff back north, back up to Galilee, and Jesus, it says, grew up, verse 40. He became strong, he became filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So that's the first step in Jerusalem. Second step in Jerusalem starts at verse 41. And this is where Luke's story continues for Theophilus. And the second step in Jerusalem is the public arena for Jesus, not as a baby, but now as a boy. It's after 12 years. And for 12 years, Joseph and Mary and the whole family have trekked from Galilee all the way down to Jerusalem every year to go to the Feast of the Passover. It's been the family thing to do. It's like going to the Royal Easter Show every year or something like that, one of those things that you do over and over. And Jesus is stepping towards adulthood in Israel rapidly. This year, when he's 12, Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem while all the extended family made their normal trek out. They all hopped in the buses took off and away they went back up towards Galilee again. It took a full day before they realised he wasn't there. So Joseph and Mary had to come back and make a three-day search. And where did they find Jesus? They find him in the temple courts with the teachers of the law, amazing everyone with his knowledge. Now, I simply want to bring out an interesting dialogue in this whole passage. And Mary says to Jesus, your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. And Jesus says to his mother, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Hear the interesting catch there? Your father and I have been anxious. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Whoa, 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 who's the father here? Your father, Joseph. And I have been anxious. Didn't you know, mother, I had to be in my father, my heavenly father's house in the temple? Now, even though they didn't yet understand what he was really saying, Mary again, Luke says, treasured all these things in her heart. She was a wise young mum. And Jesus went home obediently with his parents. He didn't linger. He went with them, obeyed them. And this is one more year before adult in Israel, before Jesus gained adult status in Israel. And the Bible says he continued to grow in wisdom, in stature, and in favour with both man and God. So in full summary, we find today that this passage to Theophilus gives us two special steps in Jerusalem, and they introduce Luke's audience, who is Theophilus and you and me, to the arrival of Jesus in this world as the destined Messiah of Israel and the Saviour of the world. That's what Luke is doing. He's introducing us in those early years to the Messiah of Israel and the Saviour of the world. You see, the Son of God has now arrived and he has been recognised. Now, friends, this concludes our first study in the Gospel of Luke for 2017. It's taken from Christmas morning until the last Sunday in January. And when we return to Luke's Gospel later in the year, it's not to the world of the birth of the baby and to the development of a boy. You see, Christmas celebrations have now finished. The next time Luke shows us Jesus, it's going to be at the commencement of his public ministry as a man. So, folks, listen up for the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." That's what's coming next. May the Lord bless us at that time. Amen.